Worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church in Harmony, Toluca Lake. We are so glad that you have joined us on this final Sunday in June as we hear a special message from our own Reverend Denise, who was ordained elder just last week. Now let us stand and worship God together.
Good morning, friends. During this moment in our worship service, we set aside time for prayer. We'll begin with a time of silent contemplation, followed by a pastoral prayer, and then afterward we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us now reflect and lift up to God what joys and concerns we have on this day. Amazing and divine Creator, you who have graciously given us the gift of breath and life, we take this moment to express our gratitude, our joy and praise to you and for you, O Holy One. Thank you. Thank you for you being a wellspring of love and hope that sees us through each and every day, no matter what it is that we're going through. Days in which we have cause to celebrate, and days also in which our hearts, they deeply grieve. The tears, they just flow, and our bodies, they tremble and shake because we feel like we're in the deep end. Eternal God, during this time in which we're enmeshed with a pandemic threat that just wears us down, and with an ever-widening venomous political divide, with the hurts and horrors experienced by Black, Indigenous people of color that shows bigotry and hate at its worst against our siblings, please, please calm our hearts and minds to not be afraid. Strengthen us to work for a just peace. And in fact, Lord, confuse the plans of those who seek to do anything less. Fill us with courage and the nerve to speak the truth when and where your gospel message must be heard and lived out. To bring hope where there is despair, food where there is hunger, healing where there is brokenness, and life where there is death. Great sustainer and redeemer, help us to live according to your ways, to repent of our wrongs, and to humbly ask for forgiveness. Open our hearts and minds, our whole selves and beings, to live life to its fullest, the way you want us to live. Guide our church, our faith community, and our ministries, each of us, to do your transformative work, to provide care and support when and where needed. And we ask protection for the most vulnerable among us, to protect those living out the prophetic call for justice where injustice and inequity exist, protection for those who are putting their lives on the line, our essential workers, our healthcare workers and first responders. And Lord, in the midst of all we are doing, morning, noon, and night, grant us rest, so that we may be refreshed and renewed. And now, friends, with humble reverence as well as steadfast confidence, let us say the prayer taught to us by our loving and affirming Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're so glad that you've joined us for worship this morning. I hope you'll take advantage of our Facebook pages and our website for more information on ways that throughout the week you can connect with the pastors and with other members of our faith community. There's a special opportunity for you coming up this Thursday night. Our Harmony worship team has put together a Zoom service called Thursday Night Live, where you will be able to experience a Harmony-style worship in miniature form, virtually, 45-minute service in which you can connect with each other in real time and experience worship together. So please check out the e-news for the Zoom link for that and plan to participate. Then next Sunday, we will begin our annual summer sermon series called CrossFlix, where we look for the intersection of faith and film. Next Sunday's film is Just Mercy, and our scripture base is Micah 6:8. So I hope you will both read over the scripture and see the film as we prepare for worship during this summer. Sneak preview: on July 12th, we'll be doing Frozen 2. And we'll be having a special talk back with two folks in our congregation who worked on it. So I hope that you will continue to give and support your church, because we need your support more than ever. We are trying our best to keep all expenses minimal, but yet there are still some fixed costs. So we really do need your support. And now, a special message from the folks who make up Spirit Pub.
Spirit Pub is a small group ministry which meets upstairs on Tuesday nights in Mickey's Bar in WeHo. Originally started as an outreach program, it has grown into a covenant group comprising a diverse community who gather weekly to share how is it with your soul and tackle some of the faith responses around those areas of our world which are either challenging or which fill us with joy.
What Spirit Pub means to me is community, fellowship, friendship, and lots and lots of love.
What Spirit Pub means to me is compassion, hope, caring for one another, love, and I'm very happy to be part of it.
Spirit Pub is a fun and diverse group where we share life experiences, establish new friendships, and get involved in church activities.
Daria and I have been attending Spirit Pub for a couple of years. We immediately felt very welcome, and we always feel very comfortable sharing our celebrations and concerns.
Sorry. So Spirit Pub to me is a group of people that meet once a week, and the great thing I like about it is it meets midweek, so I have something to look forward to on Mondays after I see everybody in church on Sunday. But it's a great group of people. We talk about our highs and lows of the week, and then we usually have a topic that we discuss, and it really opens people up in a much more cohesive way in a smaller group setting outside of church.
One of my first encounters with Hollywood UMC was through Spirit Pub, and as a recent transplant to LA from the South, I was delighted to be a part of a church that had small group meetings at a gay bar. To me, Spirit Pub really embodies what it is to be the church. It's an act of the church being the church. It's a place where anyone can come and find themselves among friends and family. It's a place of radical acceptance. Love you, Spirit Pub family.
When I moved here a little over 4 years ago, I didn't have many friends, so I was excited to get involved with Spirit Pub because of the ethnic diversity of the group and the ages, from millennial to seniors. But the best part of all was being able to tell my friends and family that I belong to a church group that met at a gay bar in West Hollywood.
I love Spirit Pub. I love going and checking in with my friends once a week and hearing my highs and lows and hearing about their highs and lows. Sitting down, having a drink, and just, you know, being social. Very pleasant for me.
Spirit Pub is community.
Power of God that made the mountains rise.
Philippians 2, 1 through 4, imitate Christ. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I'm thrilled to say that today I'm speaking to you for the first time as an elder in full connection following my ordination last weekend. I want to take a moment of personal privilege to thank everyone for the love, support, and encouragement, not just over the last week or so, but for the whole journey. 4 years ago, I became your pastoral intern, and you have all shared the highs, lows, and everything in between with me. As I walked across that stage, I was filled with deep gratitude for every single one of you and the love and commitment you have gifted me with in this process. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you. Today, we are concluding the sermon series Hope, where we have been looking at answers to questions such as, in the face of this pandemic, where do we see signs of hope? How can we find hope anew? And how might we participate in helping the evidence change? When we look at the word hope as it's used in the secular world, there's always an element of insecurity about it. I really hope I get that new job. I hope that the sun will shine tomorrow for our picnic. There's a lack of any assurance in that hope, a sense of being out of control, of having nothing on which to rely on to underpin those hopes for ourselves. The Christian definition of hope is a very different thing. For us, it's not wishful thinking. For Christians, hope is the assurance that God has promised something and the confidence that because God has promised it, it will come to pass. Now, it may not come to pass in the way which we have decided it should, but it will come to pass in a way which is better for everyone than any way in which we could have dared or been able to imagine. As we learn in 1 Peter Chapter 1, verse 13, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gift from God enables and empowers us to live out that hope faithfully and completely in all we do. And we here at Hollywood UMC know how to live our lives in confidence with that hope grounded in our faith. We have lived that out already in so many different ways. Not least of those is the work we do constantly to ensure full inclusion for all people in the body of Christ, regardless of who they love or how they identify. For us, all are equally beloved children of God and all are welcomed. My ordination last week was testament to that fact. I walked across that stage as an out queer woman with my significant other standing with me and taking an active part in the ordination. An ordination performed by a bishop who had promised that he would put his credentials before ours if required, and who lived that out in a very public and tangible way. One of the young people who was helping out at the church that day shared with me how important it was for them to see that happen, to be sent a message of hope by their conference for a future church where they and all of their friends would be welcomed into full participation of the life of the church. Because of all this, We have been and are seen as a community of hope for all members of the LGBT family, as a place where our faith is lived out clearly and obviously for all people to see. Now, I believe we are called to live this out in an additional way. As the world struggles in the clutches of a pandemic and the murder of George Floyd and countless others by the police, awareness of the systemic racism endured by so many for so long is at the forefront of all of their minds. These are the people for whom we now have to be the hope. This is where God is calling us today. Black, Indigenous, and people of color need us to be their hope. We are learning, and we need to continue to learn, but while we learn, we need to act. We need to work at making a difference in fighting for justice for those whom the systems are designed, built, and operate against. When I was in my early 30s, I was lucky enough to visit South Africa. I explored much of the southern coast and spent a week or so in Cape Town. While there, I visited Robben Island. This is the island where Nelson Mandela was incarcerated for 18 years. The place where he wrote his book, The Long Walk to Freedom, and hid it in a vegetable garden in one of the York courtyards to keep safe. Now you have to take a ferry to get to the island. Once on board, I was surprised to learn that the captain and crew of the ferry were all at some time incarcerated as political prisoners in South Africa. This extended to the island, where all the bus drivers and tour guides had also been incarcerated for their roles in the fight against apartheid. To be shown around that place, which had long been used as a depository for the people the world wanted to dispose of, and was even a leper colony in a previous existence, by the very people who had been incarcerated there, was one of the most powerful experiences of my life. Hearing their stories firsthand, peppered with details of their families, of the things they found the hardest, which for most of the women was the inability to sit with their children on their lap. And the ways they found solidarity, community, faith, and hope made the starkness of the wrongs committed against them even greater. On the ferry back to the mainland, I sat next to a larger-than-life black woman. Dressed in bright, colourful clothes, I was, of course, instantly drawn to her, and we struck up a conversation. She asked my opinion of all I had just experienced. Still processing it all and finding that so very challenging, my only response was, "I'm so ashamed." Faced with the stark reality of what white people had done, these were the only words I had for her. And it was at that moment that grace, hope, and faith hit me square in the face. "You didn't do these things," she told me. "It was done before you were born. You should only be ashamed if you choose to do nothing to force a change in the way the world treats each other. It's a choice we are all faced with as God's children, and one at which we must work endlessly. Today, I am ashamed, and I should be. I haven't stood for change, I haven't fought for equality, and I should have." I'm reading a great book called I Am Not Your Enemy by Michael T. McRae. In it, he points out, if you build your identity by hating the other person or by being afraid of the other person, that's something that's deep into the psychology. We must be able to release this ignorance, this fear, and tell ourselves that yes, there might be people that are different to me, but they are not threats. They can be different, live in a different way, have a different way of life, practice a different religion. But I can also live my life and feel good about what I'm doing without ignoring their existence and what they're doing. This highlights to me that we have so much to do and so much to learn. We need to make a commitment to helping do whatever we can to change the ways of our society and to promote equality for all. I'm still figuring out what that looks like, and I want to do that with you. Our scripture today reminds us, don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. We need to work at changing the systemic abuses in each and every one of our organizations, businesses, governments, and churches. Yes, Churches, too, are just as culpable and guilty as everyone else. What if people protested against the church in the same way they are protesting the police? Whilst the abuse is not necessarily physical, it is deeply psychological and so damaging. There is much work to do, long, challenging, difficult, and painful work, but we can do it. We know how to be the hope. We have already been that for so many. We have to extend our love, our faith, and our hope to those whose lives have not carried the privileges that so many of us have benefited from. We can be that hope with love and care, because as Henri Nouwen points out in Out of Solitude, our tendency is to run away from painful realities or to try to change them as soon as possible. But cure without care makes us into rulers, controllers, manipulators, and prevents a real community from taking shape. Cure without care makes us preoccupied with quick changes, impatient, and unwilling to share each other's burden. And so cure can often become offending instead of liberating. And we need to be in it for the long haul. Peacebuilding theory states that it can take just as long to heal from a conflict as the conflict itself. That's a long time and can seem daunting, but because we have hope, because we know how to be the hope for others, we are already equipped and ready to go. And we have already started work. Courageous Conversations held two sessions where we were able to come together and start talking and learning from each other. The UMW Book Club is reading together Holding Up Your Corner by F. Willis Johnson. And I'm happy to share that Pastor Bridie and I will be co-leading a small group, Vital Conversations on Racism, on Sunday mornings at 9:30, based on the curriculum for the UMC's General Commission on Race and Religion, which will cover such areas as deconstructing white privilege, ongoing acts of repentance, and the building of bridges to community. I really hope that you will be able to join us for these online sessions. This class will commence on Sunday, July 12th, and run for 9 weeks through the summer. We will use this work to guide our way forward as a church and to help us in our discussions with Black churches in our area, such as Faith UMC near Inglewood, a church with which we already have an affinity because they too have an AIDS ribbon on the outside of their building. McCrae reminds us that reconciliation is about learning to live together well, especially amongst our differences. And we will do this with Faith UMC and with others both within our church structure and outside of it. We will do it well because we know how to be the hope, because we have that wonderful assurance from God. Amen.